Again, I'll welcome everybody to our presentation, which will begin shortly. So just hang in there. We'll give people about another 5 minutes to show up, and then we'll get started. So please be patient.
Hello.
Welcome, Nancy. We'll be getting started in just a few moments, so please bear with us. Those of you on the phone, if you could please mute your lines. Thank you.
Hello, this is Nellie DeMierlier from CFILC.
Welcome, Nellie. We'll be starting in a moment, and if you'd please mute your phone, that would help tremendously. Thank you. Should we give it another minute or two, Doug, or are we ready to go?
We can give it like one or two more minutes if you like, but I wouldn't give it much longer than that.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much got people here, so if you're ready, I'm ready.
Let's get started.
Okay, well, then I'll welcome everybody, including Nellie. Let me get your label off my list here, to our presentation. This is the first in a series of Yo! Training webinars. Today's topic is issues impacting youth with TBI, and our presenter is Doug Chandler, the Traumatic Brain Injury Expansion Manager at the Central Coast Center for Independent Living. Before Doug does his presentation, I want to give everybody a quick overview of the room and answer any questions you may have about participating in our webinar today. Point out a couple of features here, beginning with the participant window where your names are all located. You'll see at the bottom window on the left-hand side are some tools for providing feedback to our presenter. And asking questions. The big square button with a hand and the green arrow up is to raise your hand to ask a question. If you click that button, a number will appear beside your name and we'll know who's wanting to ask a question and in what order. You can use the emoticons to give feedback during the presentation at any time. Below the participant window is the audio controls. And you'll see you have sliders for your microphone and speakers if you're listening to the conference on the computer. The big square button with the microphone, that's your button to push if you're going to be speaking. The microphone will turn yellow and point up when your microphone is up, open. And when it's not open, it's pointed down, as you've probably seen it right now. Excuse me. In the chat window, you can also ask questions, and we'll field some of them during the presentation, or as Doug decides to take them, he will answer them. So feel free to send questions by way of the chat as well. Also in the participant window is a little red check red X and green check mark. Those are used for responding to questions, yes, no questions, that Doug may ask, and we can publish the results of those polls whenever. And there's a button that will put the word stepped away next to your name so we know if you leave the room temporarily. Please mark that button. I'll point out a couple other things up on top. The icon bar, the third icon in, has a drop-down button, and you'll see that there are a number of different layouts for the rooms, and you can choose whichever layout is most comfortable for you. Along the lines toward the end there, you'll see a CC. If you want to follow closed captions, click on that and you'll receive captions from our captioner, Rick Simmons. The yellow pad with a pencil at the very end allows you to take notes that are captured in the recording, and when you play the back the recording, your notes are played back only for you. Everything in the room is captured in the recording, all of the chats and all of the slides, so this presentation will be recorded and posted on the Yale website, and it can be played back at any time. If you're following with the screen reader, click on Windows and select the activity window and put your focus there, and you will get all of the slides and hear all of the audio, and you'll be able to participate fully with JAWS from that window. So that's the 10-cent tour of the room, and Doug's about ready to begin the presentation. If there's any questions about using the room or how things work in here, please just click on the raise your hand button, or if you're on the phone, unmute your lines and speak up. Otherwise, appreciate it if the people on the phone would keep their lines muted unless they're going to be asking a question. And Crystal has said, if you have any questions, please ask them throughout the webinar, and we will do our best to answer them throughout the presentation. So feel free, if you're in the room, to either raise your hand, ask a question through chat, and those of you on the phone, you can unmute your line to ask a question. Otherwise, please keep them muted. And with that, I'll put back the first slide and turn things over to Doug.
Thank you, Alan. If you weren't sure, the way to mute your phone is to press *6, and that will mute you. Then you press *6 again to unmute. Hello, my name is Doug Chandler. Crystal Lotzenheiser is my co-presenter, and I welcome you to the first statewide Yale webinar, which is being made available to the Department of Rehabilitation, ERA funding, CECL, and CFILC. Today's discussion is geared for youth regarding youth and TBI. We also welcome the professionals who are also on the webinar today. Crystal and I will be discussing issues impacting youth with traumatic brain injury or TBI. This is an interactive presentation, and we encourage you to ask questions. Please use the raise your hand feature if you wish to ask a question, or use the chat box. Also, at times, we'll be asking for people to provide input. You can go ahead if you're on the phone and press *6 to unmute to ask a question or respond to a survey, and then press *6 to remute. So this is part of a series by Yo, Disabled and Proud, connecting youth organizing and educating youth with disabilities. Their toll-free number is 866-296-9753. Okay, Alan. There we go. Thank you. Who is most likely to get a TBI? Are you 40?
I think you can see
me. Okay. Two of the three age categories most likely to get a TBI are children ages 0 to 4, and youth ages 15 to 24. We will talk later on why youth are at risk for having a traumatic brain injury. The brain affects who we are, the way we think, act, and feel. A traumatic brain injury can change everything about ourselves in a matter of seconds. Injuring your brain is very different from twisting your ankle or breaking a bone. A brain is not as easy to repair. The brain is basically the consistency of jello. The skull that holds the brain is fluid and smooth on the outside, but jagged on the inside. A jolt or blow to the head can cause the brain to bump up against your skull, causing it to bruise, causing a concussion or TBI. As with jello, if you cut the brain, you may not even be able to see where it was cut. The brain injury can be hard to diagnose because it doesn't always show up on a brain scan, but it still can affect a person's life. So, here's my first true or false question for you. TBI is more common than multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury, HIV, AIDS, or breast cancer. Please respond by raising your, putting a check if you think that that is correct, or an X if you think it's incorrect. If you're on by phone, you can unmute and say what your response is. Well, I see some answers coming up. Go ahead, put a check or an X. Looks like there's a lot of checks. And so let me go ahead and go to the next slide. True. 1.7 million traumatic brain injuries occur every year in the United States. TBI is 6 times more prevalent than all those other disabilities that I mentioned combined. The latest figures from the Centers for Disease Control, or CDC, are 1.7 million people affected by a traumatic brain injury each year. That equates to someone in the United States getting a TBI every 15 seconds.
This is Crystal Lofton-Azer. So what exactly is a TBI? So just to be clear, a traumatic brain injury, or a TBI, is an injury to the head from a blunt or penetrating object, and it causes someone to be dazed for a moment, so a concussion is considered a traumatic brain injury, or knocked out, or coma, also qualifies as a traumatic brain injury. And the severity of a TBI is measured by the concussion, as well as by loss of memory of the event right before or after the injury. And the symptoms of a TBI can be different for everyone.
There's a question about giving examples of a blunt or penetrating object. A blunt object could be something like
the floor,
a baseball bat. A penetrating object could be a bullet, a spear, something that punctures and is narrow. Good question. Thank you.
So how do you think youth get a TBI? Common causes of a TBI in youth include motor vehicle accidents, which is the leading cause of death and TBI among teens and young adults due to learning how to drive, distracted driving, the cell phones, and driving under the influence. Another common cause are assaults coming from fist fights, child abuse, and other types of violence or domestic violence. Slips and falls, as well as blows to the head, are common with young children who are learning to walk, as well as youth who skateboard, bike, climb, just being kids. These are also very common in sports accidents as well. Another common cause is strenuous shaking, which is most commonly associated with shaken baby syndrome, as well as with blast injuries, shaking from the impact of an explosive device. And blast injuries, very common among our military, are caused from the shock waves, heat, and shrapnel from explosions, and are a leading cause of TBI among people who have served in the military. The majority of our soldiers fighting in the current wars are between 18 and 25, so they're part of the youth we're talking about today.
I'd like to add to that that the blasts have become stronger in the more current wars that are taking place, and so they're more prevalent now than they have been in the past.
If someone has had one TBI, statistically they are 3 times more likely to get a second TBI. And this means that if an athlete or a soldier are sent back onto the field, there's a high risk that they will get another TBI. So it is important to identify TBIs early on to make sure that those risks are minimized. And after the second TBI, they are 8 times more likely to get a third. And the more TBIs someone has, the higher the likely that there will be more permanent effects. So this is Tracy's story, and it's a video of one youth and how a TBI has affected her.
Can you bring this up? I was having trouble doing that.
Yeah, hang on one moment. Yeah, let me try one more thing. I can't copy the URL in. I have it up in another browser. Let me try one more thing that might work to show it to everybody. I'm not sure how this is going to work. Is it playing in the room now?
I'm seeing it on. I can't hear it, but I'm seeing it on the computer.
But it's not right.
But it's not right. It's having waves go through it.
That's okay. I'll sum it up.
Okay. Well, why don't we just summarize it? We have a little summary of it.
So Tracy, in 2000, In 2005, Tracy received was a basketball player and was 17 years old when she received her second concussion, and which caused her feelings of nausea, dizziness, blurred vision, which was similar to her first concussion she had as a seventh grader. And some of the things Tracy mentioned, was that if she told her coach that she would be about her accident on the field, that she would not be allowed to play, so she continued to play hard, and after the game she passed out in the locker room. And it was when at the hospital she knew she had a concussion, but didn't realize that how it would affect her with being sensitive to the light, nauseous, the headaches, and the impact it had on her life. And her biggest message that she wanted to make clear was, if you do have a concussion in a sport or in general, to make sure that you report it in order to make sure that instead of to report it, to take time to recover, because missing one game is better than missing one season. And so this was something she wanted us to understand about her story. Some other symptoms that can come from
I slept on the couch because of the light. We had to put dark sheets over the windows. My mom and my sister had to help me walk around. I lost my balance. I couldn't really get that back for quite a while. I didn't know it could get this bad. All athletes have a strong will, and since we're young, we know that we have to suck it up, suck things up, whether, you know, you sprain your ankle or you hurt your finger. You just go in the game and you shake it off and you don't complain, you don't cry. But this is a brain and head we're talking about, and you can't suck it up.
Thank you for making that work, Ellen.
So, sorry about those challenges, but essentially some of those challenges that Tracy mentioned with the TBI are the common symptoms that result from a TBI, and other effects include memory difficulty, the headaches, the fatigue, trouble concentrating, being easily overwhelmed, having organizational challenges, depression and anxiety that come with adjusting with TBI, increased risk-taking, so not being able to control impulses as well, difficulty understanding social cues, gumballing, or just not being able to filter what you say, and I'll explain that later, self-esteem, and difficulty planning or setting goals for the future. So the next the next slide is another true or false. Which is true or false, TBI affects females more often than males.
So please put a green check mark if you think that that is true. And put a red X if you think it is false.
The answer is false. Males are at least twice as likely to get a TBI than females because they are more likely to do the high risk behaviors, as well as be exposed to multiple chances to get a TBI.
Thank you, Crystal. Now I'm going to talk about life with traumatic brain injury. How might TBA affect youth's life? We have just talked about the symptoms of a TBI. How do you think that it might affect a youth? Please give your input in the chat box. Any ideas on how a TBI might affect youth? Also, if you'd like to comment, you can press *6 and say on the phone. I have one person that said they think domestic violence would play a role, social stigma, affect them emotionally. Physically. Oh, okay. Dolores was talking about domestic abuse on the previous slide. Can completely change their lives altogether, socially, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And the other one that's up here is inappropriate behavior. And someone mentioned that they've also seen youth with TBI be very affectionate. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you for all the responses. One more. Emotionally withdrawn, and I'd imagine you'd see more behavioral outbursts. Well, I think that you did a great job and hit on a lot of things that we're going to be mentioning here. Well, another one mentioned was that there would be difficulties in the classroom. And what we'd like to do is talk about ways TBI affect youth's lives. There are three larger areas or categories how they affect youth with TBI. The first one is adjusting to life with TBI. The second one is challenges with school and also on the job. And the third one is their social life. Another one, interesting one noted here is challenges with boundaries. So I want to talk about adjusting to life with TBI. When you have a brain injury, there's a feeling of loss similar to grieving other types of loss. This can include denial, I'm really okay. Depression, I can't do anything. Anxiety, will my friends still talk to me? Anger, I don't want to keep trying. I want my life back. Resentment, if my friend hadn't been drinking, this never would have happened. Loneliness and withdrawal. My friends aren't treating me the way they used to. I don't think they want me around anymore. healing. There's a couple types of healing. First of all, there's the actual physical healing. The brain is continuously rewiring itself. So if there is some improvement, particularly in the first few months. Even after this, the person learns ways to adapt in order to find other ways to do things. Some things that help are the following. Learning new life strategies. We will talk about this on the next few slides. Acceptance of TBI. Life is different, but there are new ways I can get things done. Change paradigm from farthest to from fastest to most resilient. I can take what life throws at me and still do things in my own way. Setting new goals. Make long-term goals and work towards them most days. Usually people say every day, but to me it's most days because life gets in the way. Get connected to others. Some of your friends may have moved on, but others may be feeling awkward and not know how to approach you. Ways around this are to bring them in, but also you can volunteer, join clubs, or find other people with similar experiences. At the bottom here, we have a picture of Dick Clark, who presented rock and roll bands to the public on American Bandstand for many years. And he is someone who had a traumatic brain injury.
Some of the challenges many youth have with TBI are related to their memory, slow processing, difficulty concentrating and organizing, and this can affect them in the school and in work. But there are ways to work with the TBI and find strategies to make them the best of it. Some of strategies for trouble with memory include using a daily planner or a checklist so that you don't have to rely on your memory, you can have it written down. Repetition of information, writing notes to yourself, as well as if you're in a classroom, to use a tape recorder to be able to repeat those lessons later on. Organizational skills with developing a daily routine and having a place for everything to minimize that frustration of trying to figure out what to do next or where you put your keys. Many of us can relate to that. Slower processing is to give yourself extra time to complete tasks or ask for extra time for tests, which is an accommodation that can be provided. And trouble concentrating, some things to help with that is to focus on one thing at a time. Minimize distractions and find your productive time, whether you're an early bird or night owl, and do your most important tasks then. In the corner is a picture of George Clooney, who in 2005 had received a TBI when on set for one of his movies, and he received lots of headaches and such and has had to do things to be able to with his TBI, but has gone on to still act. And TBI also tends to affect people's social life and relationships. Youth with TBI tend to get easily overwhelmed. This can cause what is known as a catastrophic reaction, partly because the reaction can't completely be controlled. This can include anger or outburst, crying, flight or avoidance, confusion or going blank, and uncontrollable laughter. These come from being overstimulated or having too much going on, and can be helped by reducing or slowing down the input to help underwhelm the person instead of overwhelm them. Also, youth with TBI can have issues communicating their feelings and difficulty understanding social cues and relating to friends or family, and when trying to communicate can have issues with gumballing, which is where a thought that pops into their head can pop right out the mouth without being able to control what is being said. And for someone with the TBI, this can be a loss of privacy to thought. There's a lot of thoughts that we think in our heads that we would never tell maybe our boss or our principal or a teacher. And when you lose that privacy of thought, it can cause others to perceive that person as being rude or inconsiderate. And so one strategy that can be helpful in these cases is to use a 5-second rule to think before speaking to build in a filter that otherwise is lost sometimes with having a TBI.
So, what I wanted to talk about finally is some ways of taking action. Tell me what you think might be some ways that a person could take action about TBI. Whether you're a youth or a service provider, tell us some of the things that youth might do to be involved and become socially more able to address the concerns of people with traumatic brain injury. Please feel free to type in the chat window. Or, again, you can press *6 and unmute your phone if you want to mention something at that point. Vote. Educating others about their needs. Take information and get the client in contact with resources that will help his or her participate her particular issues. Empowering people with TBI to speak out about their experiences. Give the person with TBI time to answer the question. Ask for reasonable accommodations if needed to participate. These are all excellent suggestions, and I'd like to go ahead and address them. Vote is a wonderful way to get involved. You find that youth were involved in voting in the last presidential campaign, and voting on local issues, providing input to your legislators about issues around TBI. Most years there's a couple bills, 2 to 4 bills at least, that are presented in the state legislature regarding brain injury, and weighing in on this is one way of letting them know how you feel and how you think about it, whether it's things regarding prevention or ways of providing assistance for TBI, people with TBI. Taking political action and voting are two great ways of, are part of one great way of really being involved. Educating others about their needs. I think that that's really critical, because when you talk to other people about what you need, you're doing two things. One is you're empowering yourself by putting your voice out there and letting them know what you think, and you're empowering others by letting them in on what's going on in your life, and also by making it so that they then have an opportunity to be involved as well. Finding resources. There are a number of resources online, different agencies, through the network of TBI service sites called Tibisca, that provide a lot of resources that are available to help people with TBI. Empowering people with TBI and patients. I like that somebody mentioned patients, because that is indeed one of the most critical things, is to go at the speed of the person with the TBI. Don't allow yourself to get overwhelmed and think that you have to follow a certain timeline. What you get done, you get done, and being patient allows the person to really fully express themselves and develop themselves. So, a couple of things that we mentioned here is what can be done personally can also include wearing a helmet to make sure that you stay safe, driving safely, knowing the symptoms of TBI, and noticing if someone is acting differently than they used to. Usually, as we said, TBIs go undiagnosed, so it may be that being a friend to somebody who has had a head injury, if you saw them in a sporting event where they hit their head or where they fell on the bike or off their bike, being a good friend is letting them have some feedback and know, because when somebody gets a head injury, the first couple hours can be critical. There can be pressure on the brain, and if you go to a hospital immediately, the chances of somebody having a better recovery increase exponentially. How can you increase awareness? One way is to talk to friends, families, teachers, and coaches about TBI. There's been a lot of work with coaches becoming more informed about traumatic brain injury, and that's something that we can work on to keep making sure that that continues. Coaches are fighting in two different directions. They want their students to be safe. They also want to win the game. But as the video clip showed, winning the game is a small piece of life, where a brain injury can be something that affects you for the rest of your life. So it's important to make sure that the priorities are straight and that safety is balanced with friendly competition. Another possibility is writing an article in the local newspaper or school newspaper. These are some ideas that we have thought of for this. I wanted to mention also on our slide here, well, first of all, let's show a quick video clip. Alan, can you bring up the other video clip that we have? Please stand by. Okay. That was a bit of a humorous aspect of TBI, but it kind of brings to point the idea that bullying can be involved in TBI as well. Bullying is a part of what happens to kids, and a lot of times it's actually not the bully, but the victim that ends up getting hurt. That having been said, safety is really important, and it's easy to bow to social pressure and to think that, you know, it's not cool to wear a helmet, it's not okay to take care of yourself, but in the long run, it's the person who takes care of themselves that has a better chance in life to not have to undergo having a brain injury. Safety is the main concern and something that needs to be taken into consideration. I'd like to also mention, finally, the picture here that's on the screen of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was kicked in the head by a mule when he was younger. People with traumatic brain injury can be leaders and make great accomplishments. So I'd like to open it up for any questions that anybody might have at this time. Feel free to press *6 and unmute your phone to ask a question on the phone or write it in the chat box. Tina, you asked a good question. What type of outreach strategies can we use to get youth with TBI involved in Yo? Well, I would say two things. One is that there are a lot of veterans out there with traumatic brain injury. So if you include veterans in your outreach, you're likely to be able to increase the number of youth with TBI that are part of Yo. We had our TBI advisory committee for veterans come up to Sacramento, and they expressed their opinions, and the disabled American veterans are a very strong force in California, and they talk to each other all the time. So if you reach out to disabled American veterans, I think that might be one good way to pull youth into the conversation and make them part of Yo. This was for Disability Capital Action Day that I'm talking about. Oh, the question was, what types of outreach strategies can we use to get youth with TBI involved in Yo? My question was if you had any questions. Okay, Alan Bard says there's always Making Headway too. That's one of the 7 TBI service sites. Do you want to talk about that at all, Alan? It is one of the 7 TBI service sites in California that does serve people with TBI. Tabisca.org has a listing of the 7 TBI service sites throughout California, and they are distributed throughout California. Crystal, did you have anything you wanted to add about how to get youth involved in Yo? Another way of possibly getting youth involved would be to reach out through athletic programs within the schools and let them know about the fact that YO is an organization that helps people with traumatic brain injury. I think that would possibly serve two purposes. One, increase awareness of TBI, but also the coaches are often the ones that know who's had a brain injury. They may experience this or see this in a number of ways, as well as the other school teachers, not just the coaches, but school teachers in general know the abilities and the challenges being faced by the students in their classrooms, so that might be one way of doing outreach. Are there any other questions? Well, I don't see any, so I wanted to thank everybody for being involved in today's webinar. Alan, is there anything that you would like to say about a series of webinars and any upcoming webinars that are taking place?
Thanks, Doug, and thanks, Crystal, for your presentation today. On the YO website, we have a list of the upcoming webinars. We'll be doing them, I believe, about once a month. Christina can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And as you log out of the room today, you'll be taken to a very brief survey to provide some feedback on today's presentation, and we'd really appreciate if you would just take a couple of minutes to complete that feedback. That helps us improve these webinars and make them more responsive to people. So thank you all for coming. Thank you again, Doug and Crystal, for your presentation, and Rhett for captioning. And please visit the YO website, check out the schedule of webinars coming up in September and October, and sign up for the future ones. And with that, I'll say goodbye to everybody.
Thank you, Alan.
And thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you.